Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Andy Rowan. Big Jim and Gertie are with me as usual. We'll be looking back at all the Premiership action as well as ahead to the start of this season's Champions Cup this weekend. Plus, we'll be joined by Munster, Ireland and British and Irish Lions forward Tadhg Byrne. So settle back, enjoy and make sure you've subscribed on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
How's your week been, lads?
Home run is all I'm saying. Home run.
The home
to holiday.
Run, James.
The home run to holiday.
So set the scene, James. Set the scene. When you off?
Well, I don't want to say in case my house gets robbed, but soon.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
I've got the baseball bat by my bed, so if anyone wants to come, you'll be getting that. So when am I in? When am I not in? When are we going? So I can't say. Security cameras getting fitted at the minute, but no, it's not the calm before the storm. It's just the calm. So had a weekend with the family at home, which weren't that calmful, if that is a word. I had a migraine. I had a migraine on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Basically, that's what I said to the missus because I didn't want to be with the kids all weekend, so I wasn't used to it.
So you've gone upstairs to watch the rugby somewhere, have you?
Well, I watched the Leicester Quins game in bed, but mate, been busy. Look, I think that you know what happens, Andrew? I don't know if you ever stop or if Pablo stops. Pablo must get this around Christmas where you give him a few days off. You know, when you're working and you're grafting and you stop and your body's like, right, thank you, much needed. I'm going to give you the flu. I'm going to give you a migraine, or we're going to give you the shits. We're going to give you something. Well, I've had the migraine, but I'm thankful for that because it's before the holiday and it's a weekend where the builders are in, and that's not code for anything. The builders are in, and I had the kids all weekend. So it came at a good time. Did the game on Friday, the big one. Hashtag always Edinburgh versus Benetton. Very good game, actually. And hosted a wooden spoon lunch as well and raised millions, 10,000, but let's just say 10 million, just round it up. But we're on the wind down now. It's the calm before the storm, the calm before the calm. And as you can see, full beard, I say full lid at the sides. It's getting trimmed. The bush is getting trimmed. Holiday, here I come.
Are you, I bet Beck was pretty happy with you, wasn't she? First weekend where you actually worked on Friday, but Saturday, Sunday off. And you spent one of the days in bed saying you got a migraine.
Not happy. Without going into too much detail, we're getting the house done. And the painter's come in, the electrician's come in. He's drilling through a pipe. By the way, this isn't code, by the way, for ladies and gentlemen that are listening.
He's drilling through your pipe.
He's drilling through a pipe to try and get through to another pipe to get the wire connected for the cooker. Next thing, I'm lying in bed, I've got a migraine, and all I can hear is... I'm like that. Well, someone pipe down. What is that noise? Turn the noise down. Burst one of the pipes, isn't he? So there's a waterfall going on. Yeah, I've got the migraine. I can't open my eyes, but I can watch the rugby. And it's all kicking off. The poor missus. If anyone needs a holiday, Beck needs a holiday. And she's getting one.
Have you said to her that she can upgrade a ticket to business class and you'll sit with the kids in the back with your knees around your ears or not?
Well, we can turn left, but she can stop as soon as we turn left and I'll keep going or go up the stairs.
Oh, nice. Look forward to hearing about the flight and everything.
Andrew, it's nativity, though. That's why you've been off grid. How bad or how good? Sorry, how good?
The weekend we had a couple of children's parties that I was basically a taxi service to. And I thought, like, the twins are four. And I'm like, oh, we'll just leave them there.
Hell of a taxi, though. Hell of a taxi service in the Range Rover,
though.
It's
not a bad taxi. But I said to the missus, I'm like, yeah, we'll just leave the kids at the party. No problem. We'll go for a coffee or something or go and grab some lunch. You know, whatever it is. And she's like, you can't leave the kids there, they're only four. I'm like, what are you on about? Of course you can, there's a party, there's other parents there looking after them all. And so I tried to coax the nanny into coming. She wasn't having any of it. So I had to go to two kids' parties at the weekend. Screaming kids, when you multiply it by, we've got two. So you multiply that by 10. And you've got a lot of noise going on at kids' parties.
20.
I couldn't wait to get out. Yeah, I couldn't wait to. Well done, James. Yeah. Couldn't wait to get out of there. But I got up to Leicester yesterday. So I was hosting the Champions Club, they call it. It will soon be known as the Andy Goode Suite as well, I think, at Mattioli.
I love how you have completely changed allegiances now. Since Wasps are in the relegation fight, but there's no relegation, you have changed.
I haven't
changed. This is a pun intended. You've changed your stripes from Bumblebees, a.k.a. Wasps, to Lions, a.k.a. Tigers. You've changed your strips. You have.
I haven't changed it. Mate, I'm always a Tiger. I'm always a Wasp. You know, you can happily
Which
host.
One are you, though? Which one are you? Like, as in, if you had to go down the M69 and either turn off, well, obviously it's between Cov and Leicester, but you could turn off at Inclare if you want. But if you had to carry on going or stop in Leicester, you had to do it. Where would you stop? Where would you park? Leicester?
Well, if Leicester were playing at home, I'd go to Leicester. And if Wasps were playing at home, I'd go to Wasps. Because they don't play on the same day, James, at home. So it's quite a nice little thing.
Moneymaker. Sorry, it's
a job, mate. It's a job. And what I will say, actually, is I'm a massive shout out to Jared, aka the rugby guy. People that do or don't follow him on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, they follow him. He's got double the followers of me and you put together, and he ain't bought them.
No.
They know
he's
him.
A great bloke, actually. Bumped into him at Mattioli Woods, Welford Road. You like the way I'm getting the sponsors in there? So I'm on point on message and all that stuff. What a decent bloke. I love his banter. I love what he does on Instagram. He loves the pod as well. I said, you're going to have to come on the podcast. He said, oh, I'll be a bit nervous because it's not in front of a camera. I said, oh, don't you worry. We can put you in front of a camera. So, yeah, good to see him up there. He was doing a bit of work for World Rugby. And it was a good day yesterday. Welford Road was rocking. 25,000 there, I think. Packed house. And we'll get onto the games in a bit. But ultimately, the suite that I was hosting was rammed. The suite that Tom Croft was hosting, his was rammed as well. And yeah, it was a great day out, actually. Really enjoyed it. And then today, James, nativity play at the kids' school. Do you reckon any of the kids did what they were told or what they'd learnt in the nativity play? They just see the parents and just start waving at all the parents. And then some of them start crying, so the other ones start crying. And then my two are just stood there dressed as sheep. I'm trying to work out what sheep are in a nativity play, but there we go.
I don't know.
The shepherds, James. The shepherds bought their sheep.
Shepherds crook. Yeah, of course they did. I'm not invited back to the nativity or the school because last time I helped out with the school, I got in trouble by the teachers. So I was having to look after a group and it was on an excursion or whatever. I think they went to Crocodile Land. I didn't know there was crocodiles in Scotland, but apparently there are. And I took a class and do you think any of them were listening to me? And then we got to the point where lunch was, absolutely starving, hadn't eaten all day. And I look through the window and there's a class going on. So I say to the kids, we want lunch. Next thing, they all start chanting, we want lunch. We want lunch. The teacher comes out and is like, who is making that noise? All the kids point at Mr. Hamilton. It's me. Got in trouble. Weren't invited back. If in doubt, just blame the shepherd. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Goody, you were, as you said, you were in Leicester. How was the game? Because it was billed as George Ford against Marcus Smith at Welford Road, but it was more the defences that took centre stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were loads of matchups in the game when you look at it. Obviously, the front row, Marla against Cole, and obviously Genji was involved as well. And you know, you look at the number eights, Jasper Visa against Alex Donbrandt. Loads of matchups that you can talk about. Obviously, George Ford and Marcus Smith, the New England fly half against what was the old England fly half. Freddie Stewart, Tyrone Green. And it came down to a battle of basically a Scottish player didn't pass the ball and Harlequins lost. I mean, I don't
Who's
want to
a
be
Scottish
mean.
Player. Who's a Hugh Scottish Jones. Player? He's Hugh effectively Jones. English and South African, but you might have been right.
No, listen, it was a game of fine margins. It was a proper ding-dong whereby you didn't see open flow in rugby. The weather was pretty brutal in the second half as the rain came down. George Ford's kick-in was, that spiral bomb. I would love to see James Hamilton under a spiral bomb. It's horrific. Just seeing it come down. I'm looking up in the sky, the lights, the rain, and it's just swirling and everything comes down. I would love to have seen Jim Hamilton under a couple of them.
I don't want to be horrible. And as we know, and the commentators said, this is their job to take them. I reckon I would have got closer than the Quinns boys did under that one. I would have just went straight off the forehead. Straight off the foreskin, I mean the forehead.
Straight off the forehead's well, not a knock-on.
I know.
Just get up there and nut it.
So, Andrew, just to tell people what the spiral bomb is, because I'm watching it and I'm just nodding when Austin says it. So you've got the toe punt, which is end over end. You've got the spiral, which I can do. So I can do them two. What's the spiral bomb then? Hit us with it.
Well, the spiral bomb is a mix of the two. So your up and under is generally off the base of the ball. You kick it upright from the bottom, straight up in the air, and it goes over, end over end.
So technique for that would be as if you're volleying someone in the nuts and you go in south
straight
to north.
Up, straight up, boom. Yeah, straight up. Right. There you go. There you go. Now, obviously, the spiral kick is a lengthier one, so you're trying to tight spiral it, but going for length. And so you'd have a bit of a run up and kick someone in the nuts that way. So it's more like an aeroplane taking off necessarily.
That's that more like when the Kovskins got volleyed in the head in Barcelona by the doorman, got a roundhouse kick. So it's a run up with great technique, effectively.
Yeah, yeah. And then the spiral bomb is a hybrid between the two. So you're going for bomb height and distance, but with a screw kick spiral element to it. So you basically hold the ball up and you're kicking the fat of the ball as opposed to the end of the ball. So you're kicking the fat of the ball and it spins up in the air. And as it goes up, when it reaches its apex, the top of the apex. Do you know what that is, James?
That's the point where I'd scream your ball.
Yeah, something like that. As it comes down like a bit of a dead duck. So you see, as if you've shot a duck in the air and it's flying, and you probably shouldn't talk about harming animals, but imagine a flight.
If it's
of a
Christmas,
duck
that's, there's a few getting shot.
Imagine the flight of a duck that's been flying, that's been, or a pheasant or something, it just goes boom, comes down, and it changes angle as it comes down because of the spiral. And you cannot predict particularly well where the ball is going to land. So it's a really tough skill to master, which George Ford clearly has spent a lot of time doing. But it's a hell of a skill. And, you know, you get amazing results from it because you're basically getting a knock-on or cause absolute chaos in the back three anytime it goes up in the air. And everyone is shouting, your ball, Jim, where are you? Someone catch it. Oh, no, off the head, off the floor. And you're effectively attacking players, your kick chase, are running onto a ball that could be going anywhere. And as we know, generally, as you know, an up and under goes up and isn't fielded particularly well, you've got the momentum running into that area, and generally you get the benefits from it. So hell of a skill from George Ford. Quinn's had their opportunities, you know, and it's a game of very fine margins. Leicester took theirs, you know, the tries they scored. It was an old school performance in the rain, but it was controlled. The last sort of half an hour was controlled by the halfbacks. I thought Ben Youngs was phenomenal, especially in the first half, making breaks for fun. But they're two top teams. You've got the champion team in Harlequins coming up against an unbeaten team in the Premiership. It was always going to be fine margins. Both pretty much had their kind of full teams out, and you know, small moments decided the game. And obviously the big one for Harlequins was Hugh Jones just before half time. I know Lewis Liner created a try out of absolutely nothing down the wing. Brilliant finish from him as well. But it was Leicester's power and Leicester's efficiency and kicking game that won it for them in that second half, really.
And it was a real arm wrestle at Sandy Park as well, wasn't it?
It was. Stuffy game. Actually, not overly impressed with how Saracens played. Defended well, as we know they do. A lot of emotion going into the game. Now, Rob Baxter got asked after. He kind of agreed that it was. But I think either way, the point was that both teams were fully loaded, weren't they, really? Yeah. Apart from, obviously, Owen Farrell being injured, long-term injury. It was
Jamie
one of them
George
games.
Well.
And Jamie George. It's one of them where it's a tough place to go and play. I've not peeling back on my comments around Exeter not making top four. I think they probably will now, looking at how they played at the weekend. They're a team, naturally, like most teams, you actually forget some of the quality that they've got, because the narrative around Exeter is that they're the ultimate team in terms of they've got very good players, well coached, great place to play rugby, whereas actually you see the players that came back into that team. Johnny Gray, obviously Johnny Hill back playing. I know that Joe Simmons has been on the bench. Hoggy in full flow. Luke Cowan-Dickey captain for the first time. You actually start looking, they've got some quality players. So top quality players, which they've not had access to at the beginning of the season. So we saw a fully stacked Exeter team versus a fully stacked Saracens team. And it could have went either way. I thought the Saracens, it's the worst they've played, in my opinion, this season in terms of accuracy. We can get onto the discipline aspect of that as well. I was surprised that they took 3 points when they got a penalty at the end. They didn't go to the corner. They were ultimately felt like they were going for a draw. But to come that close to Exeter in what was an emotionally charged game. I think out of the two teams, who's going to be most fueled? Exeter. because of everything that's gone by, everything that was said out of the Exeter camp, both from Tony Rowe as the owner, Rob Baxter, some of the players, the fans. So all in all, it was a pretty decent result in hindsight from Saracens because they didn't play that well. But my goodness me, physical game. And I just think it shows how good it is to have Saracens back in the Prem again, because you're going to get these games throughout the whole season where there's going to be that heightened emotion, Saracens Quins. You know, we saw the Leicester game as well. It's better that we've got that. But again, I'm not peeling back on my comments about Exeter. When they're fully loaded, they're a very, very good team, as we know.
So are they making top four then, Jim?
Did I say they weren't making top four?
Yeah, you did. You did. Peel back, mate. Peel back. Dave Ewers is back. Jack Knowles back. You know, the list goes on. Obviously, Henry Slade, Luke Cowan-Sickey. They're a quality outfit, Jim. The only thing they struggled with, scrum time.
That's where I'd be recruiting if I was them. I'd be going all out looking for a top-end tight head. Not that they haven't got a top-end tight head. But
Harry Williams is out injured, and obviously they lost Thomas Francis. He's gone back to Wales. So they haven't replaced Francis with another international prop. So, yeah, that is an area that they may come under the pump at later in the season. But when they've got everyone fit and firing, which they did at the weekend, and that's why I love the game. It wasn't a high-quality game in terms of attacking rugby, and the weather dictated a lot of it, the wind, the rain, as you know, you get down at Sandy Park sometimes, but the intensity was worth watching alone. You know, there's collisions that were going on. Defensively, Saracens were phenomenal. Maratoji, again, the world's best Norse around the park, and that's a compliment. Like, everything that he does must infuriate the opposition. And it's very Jono-esque, isn't it? What he used to do to teams back in the day. Maratoji's taken that to another level. Charge downs, smashing rucks, annihilating mauls. Basically, Jim Hamilton, everything that
he should be captain. I've said it, he should be captain. After last week's comments, he's unfollowed me on social. Can you believe it? Can you believe those lads alike? Unfollowed me.
Jim, I thought you were tight. I thought you were like good mates.
Clearly not. You can't give your opinion on anyone, can you, these days?
Yeah.
But going back to my point, Andrew, just quickly, how hard is it to call the top four? And you asked my question. So I'm trying to defend myself here with all the extra listeners, me saying that they're not going to make the top four. They are fifth. They've played 10 games. So they've played the most games out of anyone alongside Worcester, the Boer lads, and London Irish. So the other teams above them and Gloucester below them have got a game in hand. I know it's early days. Do we think Exeter are going to be in the top four? When you look at Leicester, yes, who are definitely Saracens, Northampton. You're bloody right, we do.
Yeah, and this, I think, like, looking at them, when they were, you know, emotionally it was charged, wasn't it? There's loads of stuff going on at the club around the changes to their branding and everything as well. You know, Saracens back in town, where that's been the big rivalry before. You know, I think they lost. Did they lose three finals to Saracens? Exeter did.
Yeah.
You know, and those three finals were three finals where they were found to cheat the Sarri Cups. It's always going to be emotionally charged, you know. The last time Saracens went to Sandy Park, I was there with BT Sport, and it would have been, I think it was either December 2019 or January 2020, whenever the game was, but around that Christmas period. And the atmosphere then was phenomenal as well. And funnily enough, you talk about discipline, and you talk about Billy Vunipola, who's a wonderful player, as we've always said on here. You go back to that game, the last time he was down there, it was when he made the comment to Wayne Barnes. He said, "I'm a grown-ass man." Do you remember that?
Yeah, was that game?
That was that game, yeah. And then this week, Luke Pearce. I don't know whether there was something in it from, you know, the referees talking about it, and Wayne Barnes may have said to Luke Pearce, "Well, this is what happened last time. When Billy was told to go away, and he's like, I'm a grown-ass man, blah, blah, blah." This time, he gets marched back 20 metres. Obviously, Mako got marched back 10 metres for back chat as well. So I don't know whether it was something that the refs had thought about pre-match because of the history of that game. Don't forget, there was also that fight a couple of years ago where I think it was Harry Williams legged it from the bench and got sent off as well from the bench or something, and then got a ban subsequently. So there's always drama between those two teams because they've been so competitive. Exeter will always feel a bit cheated. Saracens, you know, whenever you're playing the top team, it's like Harlequins this year. They're the champion team, so everyone raises their game when they play against them. You know, it's the same thing when we were back at Leicester, back in the day, Jim, when we were winning year after year, and then Wasps were winning year after year. Everyone raises your game to play the champion team, and Saracens will always be a champion team for their history. And, you know, it was a highly charged atmosphere that was compelling viewing, wasn't it?
Well, Jim, I don't want you to lose another teammate off social media, but what was your reaction to Billy's back chat situation?
Completely fair enough. I don't think there's any questions around it. You know, Billy and Macko have got history in terms of wearing their emotion on their sleeves, like many players do. Saracens, you know, Faz, you know, high-profile players, Dan Bigger, Johnny Sexton. It is creeping into the game. I could see the Billy one unfolding. When Exeter scored their try and then subsequently went back for a forward pass, Billy was speaking to Luke Pearce then, and I was thinking to myself, you need to be careful, Billy. They've apologised after the game. Mark McCall called them out, rightly so. He didn't name them, but it was obvious after the game because it cost Saracens. That did cost them a try, and also the discipline around the narrative of Saracens will come into question now. Goody just mentioned he brought back up that one that we laughed about, but we don't want to see it. We always talk about hashtag rugby values. Well, I don't. A lot of people do. They put it out there, and it is coming into question over the last couple of years. So Luke Pearce, fair play. You know, he's a top-level ref. He's a well-respected ref. He makes more right decisions and wrong decisions. And you look at the game on the Sunday, the Leicester Quinns game, it didn't happen. So they've obviously picked it up as players. And you understand, because you only need to do it once or twice, or three times, as we saw Saracens against Saracens, and it won't happen again. So I'm all for it. I ain't saying any more than that because I want Billy to follow me and keep liking me tweets and stuff on social if that's okay, because it's a big thing.
Yeah, basically, you've lost Billy Vunipola from your social media following, you've lost Macko, you've lost Owen Farrell, you've lost Marrow. You better just become a Wasp fan, Jim, wearing the mighty Cov.
Yeah, I don't think I can. I don't think I can follow Wasps at the minute. Just ain't good enough, Andrew. Worcester, on the other hand.
There we go. We'll get to that later. But yeah, I mean, the only thing I could question about Luke Pearce on that is he did give a warning. Billy got marched back 20 metres, didn't he, effectively? He gave a warning. He said, any more of that from him, and he gets binned. Right? But then there was two other instances.
He wouldn't look at him.
Oh, I know. But what about when he's like Jackson Ray's trying to calm him down as the captain, and then he wrenches his arm off Jackson Ray as Jackson Ray's trying to do the right thing as one of the co-captains? And yeah, it was highly charged. But I thought to get marched back 40 metres in total after giving Billy a warning after 20, and obviously the other two occasions were separate, Macko one, and I don't know who the other one was actually. Was it Alex Goode, the other one? I thought he could have given one of them a yellow card. That would have really stamped it out, I think. But hey, there we go.
Well, Michael Harvey's asked us on Twitter if we can talk about how good Worcester were this week.
Yeah, they played well. My old club, I mean, hallelujah, it's about time. no, listen, it was, and funnily enough, I had a phone call from a mate of mine in Cov over the weekend. He said, I've just seen you on TV, Goody. I'm like, you what? He said, yeah, they showed a clip, apparently, on the news from the very last time that Worcester beat Wasps before this weekend, which was when I was playing for Worcester in God knows when, like 2013 or something. So it'd been about...
With the skullet?
Yeah, that was, mate, that's definitely... The gloves were there, the red cyclers, the skullet. And basically what I did was I put a little chip over, David Lemmy scores a try and Worcester win. But I didn't realise it was that long. So Worcester have never beaten Wasps since they've moved up to Coventry, home or away, which is a phenomenal stat when you think about it. It's 8 years or something. So it's a massive win for Worcester. Oh my, Duane van der Merwe, the biggest unit you've ever seen, running at a silly, silly speed. I mean, you wouldn't fancy tackling him, would you, Jim?
Well, they're saying to Duane, we've brought you here. We're paying you a shitload of money. You're rocking up for Scotland. You ain't rocked up for us. Show us Zirans that are going over to South Africa and show us them now. We need you. We need them pipes, the three pipes, sprinting up that wing and bursting through tackles. And what they ask, they got.
Yeah, they did. And the key thing, like, he played really well. I think Chudley came off the bench at half-time, played pretty well, opened up a try. And the two key moments, really, were... Wasps made loads of errors. They've got a massive... You talk about injuries, James. You talk about Exeter when you wrote
them
off.
Told us. You've told 18 us injuries. About the injuries the last...
18,
you've told us.
18, James.
You've told us the last 2 weeks.
But you've just said... Well, yeah, we just talked about Exeter, and you're like, they've got their boys back from injury. They've got Johnny
Gray
back.
Yeah, but that's Exeter being top four. We're talking about Worcester avoiding relegation if there was relegation. Like, this is very different.
All right, there's only one team going down this year, and that's Bath, but no one's going down, so they're safe. But yeah, listen, there was a try either side of half time. So Worcester scored a try just before half time and then a minute after half time, and that is where the game was won and lost. Worcester play some decent stuff attacking, but they've always got errors in them that lead to tries. Defensively, heard Lee Blackett talking about it after the game. How do you score five tries away from home and lose the game? And that's where Wasps are at the minute, with a lot of their senior players out. You look at Launchbury, Jack Willis, Paolo Odogwu, Malachi Fekitoa. You start putting these boys back in, it's a whole different team. So
when are they back in, Goody? So when are these players coming back?
It's going to be another month or so, I think, still. But it's a 26-round Premiership season this year, isn't it? So what I do know is, the chat around Wasps at the minute is just trying to stay in touch. They've got a huge injury list, try and stay in touch. And the frustrating thing is, the last 2 weeks, they've given a big lead to two teams, both Gloucester at home and then Worcester away, where they were something like 30 points to 15 down, give or take. So, 15 to 20 points-ish down. And they've fought back and nearly won it at the death. Yes, they've got two bonus points over the last 2 weeks in each game where it could have been 2 5-pointers. And those small margin victories make the difference come end of the season when it's top four or not. So they've dropped 6 points effectively in the last 2 weeks, and they'll be frustrated, but they also know that they've got a lot of cavalry to come back later in the year.
So what do they do now, Goody? Because they've got Munster, my goodness me, at the weekend in Europe. And You look at Gloucester, for example, they've got some of their lads in Dubs on the chicken stag do, apparently. So they're clearly thinking Prem and not Europe. How are Wasps going to front up against Munster?
Well, we don't know what sort of Munster team is going to rock up, obviously. They've got their own COVID issues. All I know is, on Sunday, the Andy Goode suite is absolutely sold out. It's rammed. There's the whole
business
mafia
is great.
The whole Irish mafia from Cover come in for Munster and all this stuff. I think that bloke, do you remember that bloke that threatened Billy Vunipola with the shoe? I reckon he's coming as well from when Munster play Wasps in Coventry. God knows, mate. It's one of them. They'll keep battling. And it's a new competition, so it's a new emphasis. Munster are undoubtedly, with everyone fit, a tough proposition to face for Wasps in the position that Wasps are in with the injuries. But obviously Munster, we know the issues that they've had over the last sort of 10 days being out in South Africa, and who can play, who can't play, who's isolated, and we'll find out and chat about that over the next sort of few days, etc. But it's a new competition, so you've got to back yourselves. We need some of the injured boys back. I don't think there's any more back coming this weekend, although Alfie Barbary's back. He came off the bench, so hopefully he starts and we've got a bit of go forward.
With Alfie Barbary, I sent him a picture when we were in Cardiff because his mate was chatting to me and didn't believe that I knew Alfie Barbary, which I don't. I just followed him that night, sent him a picture, and then me and the Barbs were going back and forth. And he said, I was the go-at.
I don't think he said you're the go-at.
No, he might not have said that. Maybe I said, do you think I'm the go-at? And he didn't reply. But nonetheless, that was in the terminology of back and forths.
Yeah, he's a good young player that's now focusing on number eight because Eddie Jones has told him to.
Goody, you touched on Bath there. How do they turn things around now? Because they were hammered at the weekend by Saints, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, when it rains, it pours for Bath. And you feel for them. Mainly I feel for them because Ed Griffiths is there, which is not great. But in reality, they had loads of injuries again. And we're chatting about Wasps with injuries. Bath have got a big injury list as well. You take out some of their players that have been missing over the last few weeks. Then you rock up, they lose someone in the warm-up. They lose their halfbacks early on in the game as well. And, Stuart Hooper is, really battling. They've got the worst defence in the league comfortably. And sometimes you've got to look at it. And unfortunately for them, whereas Jim said Wasps are playing Munster this weekend at the Coventry Building Society Arena, I think Bath have got the toughest task. They're going away to Leinster in round one of the Champions Cup. And that could be an absolute hockeying. But it's one of them. You've just got to stay tough. Take the positives out of certain things. There was a bit of set-piece dominance at times from them. But fair play to Northampton. We know, Sam Vesti's a friend of ours. I'm not sure he's a friend of the show because we call him the Bogey Monster. Chris Boyd, who I've known for quite a few years, he coached me when I was at the Sharks in South Africa. He's a wonderful coach. The accuracy and the width that they put on the ball. Dingwall played exceptionally well at 13. Freeman on the wing was brilliant. Skozan as well. When they get the ball in space with the accuracy, the passing accuracy from bigger, Hutchinson played pretty well. He's got over his bit of a nightmare he had against Leicester a few weeks back out of position. He was back in the centres. Saints are good. Like we've always said that when they're on the front foot attacking well. Augustus at number 8 is class. And sometimes you've got to say to Bath, listen, it's a really tough period. You've got injuries, you've got some tough games away from home. Yeah, they showed a lot of bite the other week against Exeter at home. But this week, again, things transpired against them. You feel for Hoops. You just got to get that speech out again, Hoops, and arouse people, eh, James?
Well, you do wonder, and I wonder even more, because I was thinking it myself, but I didn't tweet about it. But Flats tweeted about it at the weekend, and he was talking about the substitutions. Underhill, immense against Bristol, we subbed off. Spencer and Bailey, excellent against Exeter, same thing. And then Will Stewart versus Saints, who I thought was playing really well as well. So I don't know whether there's a time management thing here. I think in Sam Underhill, you've got one of the best back row players in your team. Like, I don't know whether he's carrying a knock or whatever needs to be managed. I would have him on. I'd have him playing as much as possible. And you say that, it's easier said than done when you're playing in the position and you're banging boys like he's banging boys every week. But yeah, I mean, Bath is what it is now. The bottom of the league. I can't see it changing. Worcester eking out, dominating Wasps. I mean, they're just eking out performances now. And do you know what the funny thing about this, Andy Rowe? Every week that Gloucester win, we're going to get an apology. Gloucester in the top four for a bit.
They're not James.
They were for a bit on Friday.
Yeah. How impressed are you with Gloucester? Because a lot of people were picking them to be bottom.
Yeah, who'd have said that? Who'd have said that?
Probably the same podcast that thought Exeter wouldn't finish in the top four.
Exactly. What do we know? And doesn't it get reminded to me on social media when Gloucester have a victory? Gloucester fans come at me, and a load of them actually retweeted my column where I said Quins might not make the top four and Gloucester will finish bottom. So apologies again to all Gloucester fans. Deep apologies. But also, you're welcome, because at the start of the season, I know they'd had a difficult back end of the season last year. Opening two games, they lost away at Northampton and then at home to Leicester. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm right. But from what I heard, Lance Bradley's been in there. He said, Goody and Jim have given you stacks on the rugby pod and they've come good. They really have. Listen, the game on Friday night, it was, you're thinking about it, and Gloucester should have probably been way further ahead in that first half, the way they played. They're driving more to the cowsheds and back, James, you know, is outstanding. I think they've scored a try off a line out in every game this year, be it a driving line out or a play around that. It's a real strength of theirs. And Skibbs has got, you know, he's gone back to basics. You look what Borthers did at Leicester, went through some pain, went back to basics, reaped the rewards. They're now top of the league, unbeaten. You know, not only 9 from 9 in the Premiership, but 2 from 2 in the Premiership Cup as well. And that breeds success. Gloucester, same thing happened. They've gone back to basics, driving line out, strong kicking game. Harris and Atkinson in the centres are quality players. Atkinson, I've said it on here before. You know, I know he got capped in November for England, but he's got everything. He's a big unit. He's got classy handling skills. What about his little grubber kick for the try for Harris? And it was
Prem player, yeah, isn't he?
Why being horrible? Why isn't he international? I'm just talking him up about being an international, and you're saying he's an ultimate player.
He's only got one cap. I mean, if he was playing for Wales, he might have got 60. But he's ultimate Prem player, as in if you were picking a Prem 15, he'd be there or thereabouts every time, and probably Chris Harris, to be fair, in the centre. In terms of, like, if you didn't pick internationals, but you obviously would pick internationals, non-capped, even though he is capped.
Where are you going?
World Premiership 15s, Atkinson. What I'm trying to say is I'm a big fan, is all I'm saying. Yeah. In terms of, I don't know how much he gets paid, right? So this is going to be my point. I didn't want to say it. In terms of how much he probably gets paid compared to a top level international 12. Now, I can ask Ravo's arm, he probably won't tell me. I can go to Davy Pish, we can ask him, the agent, he might tell me. But ultimate Prem player, and you actually look across Gloucester's books, you've got that. You've got Rapava Ruskin, loose head, top quality player. He's probably paid like an international. Don't know that for sure. Ed Slater, I know he's been injured. Freddie Clark, you know, 100th game at the weekend for the club, who's been playing in the second row, has been unbelievable. Lewis Ludlow as well.
He was ridiculous at the weekend. Him and Ackerman.
He's ridiculous every week.
How hard is Ludlow? Like, he doesn't look massive, but he just looks hard as they come.
I told you, didn't I, on the podcast before, he pulled me back in training when he was about 13.
Yeah, and banged you out.
Well, no, I've grabbed him and then looked around and was like, hang on, Who's kid's this? He pulled me back as I was going through. I thought, hang on, there's going to be a kid here that's snoring. But I called him Little Chief from then on in. But my point being, you look at the profile of Gloucester and then you look at the coaches that they've got without going over old ground. Great club, great foundations, and a big fair play has got to go to Ravo's arm. I mean, Skivs, for sorting that place out. And you feel now that Skivington's probably going to be at the helm, hopefully, for the next 4, 5, 6 years, maybe longer. And he's going to add to that, probably bringing some more South Africans, and all is good. But yeah, quality win. And what we should say on Bristol's as well, Omar Semis is back. Did you see him when he came on?
Omar Semis back. And this is where you've got to credit Gloucester and their defence, because Semis' first touch in that second half when he's come on at half time, he's basically, all he's done, and I say all he's done, he's put the fear of God up two defenders that have both stepped in to tackle him, and he's just gone round the back offload, off they go 50 yards. But what Gloucester did is they barred up after that and realised that Semi's here. The writing was on the wall, wasn't it? I think I put Omar Semi out on Twitter, and a load of Gloucester fans came back and were like, yeah, oh, this is going to be the turn of the tide now, and it's going to be one-way traffic. And it wasn't, because their defence... Gloucester's defence was absolutely heroic at times. And then you add in their driving line out, they got a penalty try, and obviously the try in the first half from Singleton. Bristol, they had that purple patch where Semi's made the offload. Then 2 minutes later, Charles Piatow has made a ridiculous break. He's actually fended off Atkinson and gone round him, then danced around someone else. And you're thinking, this is the Bristol that we've been waiting for last year, that were outstanding throughout the season. But Gloucester wrestled back control of the game and absolutely dominated them. And Bristol chucked some, threw a few shots at them, chucked the ball around a bit. But Gloucester had an answer for pretty much everything after those two little breaks. It probably focused the mind and sharpened them up a little bit, thinking we can't just let Semi offload anywhere. And they attacked breakdowns, they got turnovers. Ackerman was phenomenal. And then what a finish to the game, though. Charlie Chapman, a Gloucester born and bred bloke, he used to buy a season ticket for the Shed, apparently, when he was a little kid. And then he goes and scoots away from the scrum, absolutely rinses Purdy, poor Purdy, just didn't know where to go, inside or outside. And then the finish in the corner for the bonus point. Imagine being him, you've come off the bench. And one of the things that I love seeing after the game was Ben Meehan, the scrum half, who has gone to Gloucester this year, Australian lad, ran on. They had a hug like you wouldn't believe on the field, because he was so happy for him. Even though you're competing for the 9 jersey, he's a Gloucester lad doing that in front of his own fans. A youngster, that's the best moment of his life so far, and what a celebration afterwards. I saw Atkinson try and pick him up as if to say, he's one of you lot in front of the Shed, and he couldn't pick him up. He wasn't letting him pick him up. I was hoping it was going to be like a little boy just being held in the air, but mate, what a Lion feeling King. That must be.
It was class. He was batting his chest, obviously, at the Shed. Been there, mate. We played against Bath and big fight kicks off and I get barreled into the Shed. You know the story, don't you? I basically get lifted into the Shed by the Bath players and then end up filling them all in. They're all on the floor, and then I take a pint off someone from the Shed, chop it, and then end up scoring off that back of a driving line out. You remember that?
Is that the one where you shit yourself from Butch James and lobbed it on the floor?
Could well have been. Similar thing. Someone was screaming tip. Will James was screaming tip. I'm sure I was, but apparently he was shouting latch, and I've just got scared because Butch James has taken my head off and thrown the ball into touch. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is Charlie Chapman, unbelievable name. And it was one of them where I think everyone was smiling, whether you were there or like we were, Andrew, watching it on TV at home. What a moment for him. And we've spoken about these young lads who were playing for England and get these opportunities. For a Gloucester young lad like that, I mean, nights that dreams are made of, aren't they?
What are your thoughts on Pat Lamb's comments after the game?
You don't lose, you learn. But he said in his interview after the game, I'm loving the journey and learning about stuff. And you've got to try and spin a positive on it, right? Because it's one of those, isn't it? They finished top last year. I know they've got injuries as well, but Jim doesn't like the old injuries excuse, do you, James? They've had a few injuries. No. Obviously, the best player in the world, Semi's been out, but he's back now. But they've gone from top dogs to now they're 12th in the league, aren't they? And you talk about, you're hammering Wasps, Jim, but Bristol, the expectation
on them... I'm jesting.
I'm joking. But the expectation on Bristol, where they've been and now where they are, and I know that the Premiership's a different beast this year because there's a lot of more competitive teams, but you've got to be asking questions. He's signed a contract to 2028, hasn't he, or something?
5-year extension on top of 2 = 7. Romeo Dunn.
Fair play. I mean, it's a hell of a lot of cash to be paying. But they'll come out of it. Obviously, you get your top players back and things have improved. You know, there was no Sinclair again at the weekend. Obviously, Semi Randranda's coming back. But there are some question marks there around how they play, around their effectiveness now. And yeah, it'd be interesting times for them. Thoughts, Jim?
Well, without stating the obvious, the proof's in the pudding now, isn't it? The sign of good coaches, we've seen that not just in rugby, in all sports. When it's all going well, you're on the front foot and you're loving life and you see everything on social media, and Bristol have a great social media. They're very innovative. We've had people on the show from Bristol. They open their doors to the media. I watched the one they did on BT Sport with the assistant coach, some of the players, and obviously Pat Lam as well. But the proof is in the pudding, without stating the obvious, is how they come through this. They're clearly reliant on Semi. Of course you are. Absolutely. We're talking about probably the best player in the Premiership. So it's when you've not got him, we've seen kind of what's happened. Now they have got him, and if he can stay fit, we saw even the snapshot of the weekend against Gloucester. He's going to open the doors for everyone in that team because he can get on the front foot. But the proof will be collectively is how Pat brings them through. That's where you're paying coaches big money, aren't you? And we see how quickly it can turn. Look at Wasps 2 years ago. Dai Young goes, Lee Blackett takes the reins, transforms the team. And now, I know we were joking about it, but load of injuries and Wasps are struggling again. Quinns, do you know what I mean? Guzzy goes, Quinns win the league.
Ashy goes
to Worcester. Shocking. You know, look at Sale. Sale under Alex Anderson last year comes in. Massive, massive turn in terms of the way that they're playing, the energy, the culture in the club. And Sale have struggled this year. So the proof is in the pudding with the amount of money that the club have invested in Pat. There's no doubt that he's a good coach. But you just wonder what the culture's like when you're losing every week. The whispers start happening. Andrew, we've been there. There's a fine line between honest men and guys that moan. I was in that fine line many a time. so we'll see. I think Bristol will come good. Get the players back, get Semi back on the pitch, get into the drier months in February, March, April. They might be okay. They might be.
Top four?
No, I don't think they'll make top four, no.
What about London Irish? They're looking pretty good.
Oh, gosh.
Mate, they are. I think they've won 7 of their last 8 games now across all competitions. And they are a joy to watch at times. You know, going to watch London Irish, there's going to be try score. They're the top try scorers in the Premiership. Ollie Hassel-Collins is the size of a horse, the speed of a horse. I just need to know whether he's hung like a horse as well.
Wow. If you look, without stating the obvious.
Yes. We'll just say yes, shall we? You know, 3 tries for him. The first one was just out-and-out speed, talent and ability to beat people. Paddy Jackson floated a hell of a seed over the top to him for his 2nd try. And we've said it on here before, Paddy Jackson is playing exceptionally well. Kyle Rowe, for the first try, and I've talked about him on here before, Scottish Sevens International, has 100% got the best hairdo in the Premiership right now. The dirtiest mullet you've ever seen. Shaves it in every week, I reckon. Great footwork. And they're exciting to watch. They really are. I know Dino complained about their 7-hour bus, car journey, whatever it was, down from Newcastle to London, and they were still asleep in the first half.
I've commuted. I've been there, mate.
Mate, I used to commute up to Newcastle and back from Newcastle on a plane. What's happened to the plane, boys? Time's gone hard.
Very different, Andrew, getting picked up in a Mercedes people carrier, taken to the BA first class lounge and flown up with long legs, drinking gin and tonic on the way up with a pack of crisps and a vape and then getting whisked off to training and not doing any contact than having your knees up. Have they still got these Ford Galaxies? I remember them coming down. Whatever club, when I was at Leicester or Gloucester, they've come down the Ford Galaxies. I'm thinking, you lads are getting hammered today. Humbly. They had PlayStations in the back, and they did, yeah. They generally did, yeah. But when you go back up there at Christmas, yeah, it was the other way around.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, listen, we'll come on to Falcons in a minute. That, you know, Falcons are a decent side. Hayden Wood at 10, lovely little ball for one of the tries. But it was all about London Irish, that they're in form. You know, where they had a few games earlier on the season that they kept drawing, where they were coming back from giving up a big lead to start off with. But they're starting to dominate games from the get-go now. Augustin Crivi at hooker's playing exceptionally well. He looks about 50, but he's still rocking it hard in the Premiership. They're exciting to watch, aren't they? And, you know, who knows where they get to. They had this spell last year, though, if you remember as well. And then they fell off in the second half of the season. I think they ended up missing out on a place in the Champions Cup in the, I think it was the last game of the season, actually. Maybe to Wasps. So I think the next 2 weeks, where they're in the Challenge Cup, will be great for them, because then they can kick on and really focus in the Premiership, whereas other teams have got to go to war over the next 2 weeks in the Champions Cup. And, yeah, they're exciting to watch, Irish. I like them.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's have a look at the URC as well now then, because, Jim, it was a good weekend for the Scottish sides, wasn't it?
It was. I mentioned hashtag always Edinburgh, beat Benetton, playing very well. Now, I don't know how many of the listeners, there'll be a load of Edinburgh fans that listen to the Scottish fans. Edinburgh playing incredibly well. Goody, Ben Vellacott is carving up the URC.
You're welcome.
Absolutely Wasps. Carving up.
Absolutely. We sent him up there from Wasps and said, mate, your future is in Scotland International. So Edinburgh fans, you're very welcome.
They do offer something positive in rugby then, Wasps, but I jest. I'm joking. Very good. But yeah, Edinburgh, very good. Magnus Bradbury, 100th game for Edinburgh. Bull of a player, was wicked. He got player of the match at the weekend. Competition for Hamish Watson with Luke Crosby, Jamie Ritchie, Bill Matter in the back row. Edinburgh starting to build some real strength and depth. And there's obviously a natural bias and... because I have more insight, because I commentate on Scottish teams most weeks. The brand of rugby they play is phenomenal. Darcy Graham, they've got Emiliano Buffelli, the Argentinian 15, who's class. Blair Kinghorn at 10 as well. The big challenge for them is going to be this weekend. We'll see where they are. They've got Saracens in the Challenge Cup this weekend. But yeah, for the URC, considering the troubles they've had this weekend, there's some quality games and... that was one of them, but it wasn't the pick of the weekend's games. There's obviously a reshuffle because the South African teams were meant to be playing against the Scarlets and Munster and Zebra, but we know that because of COVID, without going into that, they didn't. So they had their home games, as it were. So the Sharks played the Bulls, Andrew. The Sharks won 30 points to 16.
My old team, James. My old team.
There you go. Fully loaded.
Khaleesi played. He'd finished his world tour, which was great. Lekanyuam, man of the match.
There you go. So it was good to see, actually, the South African players come back in because we were unsure whether they were going to play because they've had such a long period away playing in the Championship and the Autumn Nations Cup as well. But yeah, they won 31-16.
And it's actually weird for them because if you think of historically what these boys have done, this is the first year that the big four have been in the URC. So the Sharks, the Bulls, the Stormers and the Lions, who are naturally the big four provinces. They're normally end of season tour in November, then they're off till post-Christmas. Their pre-season is in January to start Super Rugby normally at the back end of Jan, isn't it? So it is good to see them in it because it's a seismic shift for them in terms of their planning for the year. Those South African boys are going to have to play a lot of ruggers again, aren't they? Especially if they're rocking up in the URC all the way through to the Rugby Championships next summer.
Yeah, absolutely, with the travel as well. Did you see our Ulster got beat by the Ospreys, who had...
they did.
40-50 put on them the week before at Connacht.
Yeah. And then Connacht go to Leinster and take an absolute hiding as well.
Leinster crazy, James. So, Andrew, we spoke about the Pro 12, Pro 14 being average. The URC, to be fair, a massive positive. If we can get a positive out of the COVID stuff we've had this weekend. But yeah, huge positive in terms of the quality of games because it's pishing it done, it's cold, it's windy, and we're seeing loads of tries and we're seeing loads of quality as well. So, buzzing, big shout out to the URC and the teams playing decent ruggers.
Apparently there's a decent pundit on Friday night as well at the Edinburgh game.
Oh.
Chris Patterson.
Oh, was it?
No, James, course. James Hamilton.
Yeah, his sidekick.
Well, we can have a chat now with a man who might be able to tell us a little bit more now. Munster, Ireland and British and Irish Lions forward Tyke Byrne joins us. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me, lads.
Nice, Ty. Great to have you back on. Give us a lay of the land. I don't know what you can and can't tell us. If we go based on your social media, it looks like you're somewhere cold, which means home in Ireland. Can you tell us anything about what's happening, where you are, where they are?
Well, I think so. As Munster had said, there's a few lads who managed to get home, and then there's a few lads over in SA. I was one of the lucky ones who didn't end up flying out. We were due to fly out on the Saturday, and obviously it all unfolded on the Friday. So we dodged a bullet, really. So we all feel for those boys. You know, I think it's tough times for a lot of them, you know, stuck in a room, especially those with families and stuff. But, you know, I think they'll get through it, hopefully, and they'll be back soon.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the main concern is everyone fit and okay? And I know, obviously, there's some boys have tested positive for COVID, but hopefully they're okay, bar the confines of a hotel room in a lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, some lads over in SA, I think they're able to do a bit of training. And then a few lads here have got stuff to their homes and that, so they're able to do a bit of training as well. You know, I don't think anyone's too ill, which is the main thing. And hopefully they'll be out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Tyke, I'm sure there's only so much you can say and you probably want to say, and we've not got you on just to talk about this, but I think from a perspective of having been a player and also having a family and also caring about the season and my team and understanding that Europe's coming up and obviously the Six Nations is around the corner and all these other things that come with it. And then I look at Matthew Morgan's tweet, who was clearly absolutely raging, the Cardiff fullback, to the point where he deleted his Twitter. How has it all been as a player in this? Is there a vulnerability? Are you pissed off? Do you feel like it's been looked after, or is it one of them you don't really know?
It's not really a place for me to talk about because I'm not really in any of those situations. I'm lucky enough to be at home with my family, and you know, I don't have to deal with being stuck in a hotel room in a different country, unknowing if you're going to be able to get home or not for Christmas. That I'm sure that would be playing on the players' minds a lot. And I can imagine mentally, more than anything, that's what's going to be difficult with this situation. So, you know, you put the league and Europe and everything to one side and you kind of think about the player welfare more than anything. And I think that's all we're concerned about more than anything.
The main thing to take out of this is the missus have made you do a beautiful Christmas tree behind you in the meantime, isn't it? So.
that's one of her Christmas trees. She's done well.
You've got a big, yeah. You've got a few Christmas trees. You've got a big house then, and rightly so after the year and well, even longer that you've had. You've been phenomenal. Obviously, this weekend against Wasps is a massive game. I'll be at the mighty Coventry Building Society Arena hosting the Andy Good Suite. I don't know. Do you want to come upstairs for a Q&A, or are you in a bubble? You probably can't, can you?
Thankfully, we'll be in a bubble. Good.
Thankfully, yeah.
You don't fancy? There'll be plenty of Munster fans there, I reckon. There's quite a contingent in Coventry.
Always have a travelling contingent.
Yeah, they'll be following you. But yeah, looking forward to the game. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of unknowns for you guys still. There's players potentially coming on loan and all that stuff. We've seen EPCR relax the regulations. I think even Jim put his hand up and said he'd happily play for Munster in the second row as long as Paulie O'Connell played as well. But it's not happening, is it?
Not going to happen. Sorry, Jim, boy.
And we've got to rewind the clock a little bit because that victory against the All Blacks that you had a massive part of, especially in the second half, I mean, how many beers were sank after that game? Because that was a hell of an atmosphere watching it on TV. I can't even imagine how good it was to be there watching it live, but even better playing it. You must have had some piss up after that, eh?
It wasn't too mental, in fairness. It was good fun. I think, again, COVID kind of struck with us. We weren't able to see any family or any of that. So it was us in the team room, and we got to sit back, watch a bit of rugby and just had a few beers together and kind of just enjoyed the victory. I think most lads were so knackered afterwards that it was tough to get any kind of party going. But we stayed up till late enough, being able to sink a few beers. And I think that's probably the way, almost the best way to celebrate games, is almost just celebrating between each other, enjoying a quiet beer and sticking together.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyke, it feels like 10 years since we crossed paths in Dublin. You looked at me, I looked at you, and there was a kind of nod as whether or not we embraced or just carried on walking. We carried on walking, as we know. But when you look at the way that your career has gone, you know, your career over the last 2 years, what you've experienced, but in the times in which you've experienced it during COVID, is there not an air of sadness? Is there an air of like frustration around, but not being able to have all your family be, you know, on the Lions tour and experience everything that you're experiencing, where you look at 3 or 4 years ago, it was just absolute madness. So imagine what you're doing now 3 or 4 years ago. Do you want that, or do you want a bit of the calm?
I suppose you would look at it and you'd be, especially the Lions series, would be obviously the standout one where I would absolutely love my fiance and my family to be over there watching. You know, it's such a huge accomplishment for any player. So, you know, I think having family there would have been incredible. But, you know, I don't think from the actual learning, from the enjoyment side of things with the team, that doesn't take away from it, because we still got to enjoy each other's company, kind of meet players I probably never would have met if it wasn't for the Lions, and, you know, get to play alongside them as well.
There seems to be a bit of a shift in the way you boys have been playing, attack-wise. Mike Catt's probably got his feet a little bit more under the table now. Has there been a seismic shift from what you think as a player to how you're performing collectively? It seems more focused on attack as well now.
I think, when Faz took over, he wanted to play a certain way, and so did Mike Catt, and, you know, Paulie coming in, and so with the D, I think our D's been gotten better and better as time's gone on as well, and they've all wanted us to play a certain way, and, you know, you probably heard us a lot of the time saying we're trying to work towards something that hasn't really clicked, in terms of they set out a way we're playing. We haven't changed much in the past year and a half. We've just kind of gotten better at what they wanted us to do, and I think everyone's on the same page now, and everyone kind of understands what they're asking of us. And I think that's probably why it's starting to click a lot more.
Absolutely. And what influence has Paul O'Connell had since I dominated him 2 years ago in the ITV Never. Studios?
Never.
Well, I won the line out. Nearly went through the wall.
Yeah, I don't know. Not too many people can dominate Paul.
Very true. I say that in absolute jest. He's a warrior. What influence has he had, Ty, on yourself personally, but the squad and the fact that, he's a Munsterman, he's an Irishman through and through.
Yeah, he's been huge. You know, his knowledge around the game is massive, especially around the lineout. You know, I think his first week in, I think myself, Andy and Cheese, the three of us had, I think, 3 2-hour meetings just on lineouts, you know, in the first 3 nights. You know, he's just kind of, the first while, he kind of just sat back and let us kind of do our thing, and he kind of tweaked things as he went. And I think he can properly see and have his stamp on how our lineout's gone in the last kind of 6 to 8 months. It's gotten better and better, and especially around the ruck area, which he kind of looks after as well. I think he's having a massive influence there as well. So yeah, he's been great. He's been great for Ireland, and yeah, really enjoyed having him.
One of the other things I want to ask you about is Simon Zeebo coming back to Munster this year. I'll follow him on social media. He's always doing stuff with a smile on his face. How good is it to have him back?
You say always with a smile on his face. He's literally like that in person. I don't think I've not seen him smiling. Nothing phases him. He's very happy to be out there doing his thing, and he's class for environment. So really enjoying having him back in Munster.
What kind of shape is he in, Ty? I mean, because looking at him in Paris, just visually, I don't know whether it was the white and blue stripes.
What have you been on about him?
Well, he was enjoying the baguettes or the red wine. I mean, I don't know if he's on the vape as well. I doubt he is. He wants to play for Ireland. But what kind of shape's he in?
Well, there's not too many baguettes to get in Ireland, so our panda shop lad. So he's in good shape there again. If he was in bad shape, I didn't know him back then. So, he's sorted himself out, if that was the case.
Yeah, he has sorted himself out. Just from what I can see, aesthetically.
Jim, you're horrible. And then last thing on that, on Munster, obviously Graham Rowntree having a massive impact. We've seen the news that Stephen Larkham's going back to the Brumbies to be head coach for next season. How's Graham Rowntree? And tell me you call him Wiggy about his ears. He loves being called Wiggy.
I don't know about that.
What do you call him, Ty? Do you call him Graham?
No, I call him Wig.
Okay,
just stick a Y on the end,
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Just put, or Wigsville when he was at Georgia.
That was great. But he's had a big impact, right, as well over there.
Yeah, huge. Especially personally, I think he's been really good for me. I think I've had a lot of one-on-ones with him after games, kind of reviewing games and kind of seeing where I can improve and what I kind of need to focus on. And he's been class around that area. So I've really enjoyed him.
And when he has his one-on-ones with you, do you ever just stare at his ears and just think, wow?
He's impeccable ears.
He has. You know them everyone, ears? They weren't even in a scrum. Apparently, he was on the streets of Hinckley and he wanted to look hard because he weren't that hard, or he didn't look that hard. He is hard. And he was getting his mate, Darren Garforth, to knee him in the ears so he could get big ears. They're not from playing rugby at all, so don't be fooled.
All right, Todd, thank you so much for coming on, mate. Really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us, and best of luck this weekend.
Cheers, Andy.
Not too much luck, though. It's the Mighty Wasps. Come upstairs right. For the Q&A. Mate, come upstairs for the Q&A. We'll be fine. I'll get you a
bring
Guinness
your fourth team.
Game.
I think you'll be all right.
Are you going to spit that bag again? Behind the
cash. No, mate. I'll do it for the love of the game. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Cheers, Ty.
Cheers, pal. Cheers, mate.
All right, lads. Cheers.
Top lad. Friend of the show.
He is. Yeah, he is. He didn't talk about his highlight of the year, though, disappointingly.
Which was what?
Well, I bumped into me and my missus with him and his missus in a restaurant in Portugal, post Lions tour. I chewed the ear off him for about 5 minutes and he's like, oh. Luckily for him, I think he just finished his dinner as I was starting, so mine was getting cold. And I'm thinking, hey, Tig, that's enough, mate. My fucking dinner's on the table. I need to move on. But no, good lad. Very, very unassuming, isn't he? Like a nicely, quietly spoken guy, but my God, what a player.
Absolutely. I think it's hard for him to probably speak as well for the lads that are still in South Africa. But let's be honest, could you fucking imagine being there? Not that we dislike South Africa, but you're that far from home. So you look at Matthew Morgan's tweet, and I can't remember what he said. He's obviously raging about it, and he's blaming the URC. When there's a blame, there's a claim. And then he deletes the tweet and takes down his Twitter. So he's obviously been advised. But these are young lads with families stuck in South Africa. Not that South Africa's a horrible country, we love it, but like Tig said there, they don't even know if they're coming home for Christmas, let alone when they're playing rugby next. So that's where, I mean, I don't want to get political and start blaming governments. Obviously, everyone's under their own pressures, but I just hope they're being supported. I'm sure they are. I know the URC put a tweet out saying that, thanking the South African Rugby Union and people and the hashtag rugby family and stuff. But yeah, nonetheless, messy situation, but I suppose the positive is that we're going to see rugby at the weekend, if that is a positive, not a life positive, but a rugby positive.
It is tough though, isn't it? Like, no one can imagine being stuck out there, and you've probably got a quarantine when you come back at this end as well. You know, it's like, you just got a feel for them, haven't you? Being locked up in a room. I remember the first day I got to South Africa when I played for the Sharks, we'd come back from a tour in Australia and New Zealand, went straight to the hotel. There was no hot water in the hotel. I'm just like,
oh no.
Wow.
Well, no? How do you wash your hands? When you sit there and have a, you know, good half an hour on the bog, there was no water, not even hot water. There was no water in the hotel. So not only could you not flush properly, and it was just
left
steaming.
That's different. Oh my gosh, yeah. In a carrier bag out the window.
But that's the thing, that's not a slight on South Africa at all, but I love the country. But you are miles away from home. And some of them will be dads, some of them will have kids, you know, missing the missus. Some might not miss the missus. Some might be, you know, quite happy with a few days away. But there's no doubt it will get to people, and you just hope there is support there for the right reasons.
Well, let's have a look ahead then to the Champions Cup. The EPCR have changed the rules to allow a lot of new players to be registered. But is this competition starting with an asterisk because of those players stuck in South Africa?
Well, they've said they can forfeit if they want, so there's an out for you. I mean, what a thing to say. Like, yeah, I mean, forfeit like, if you want, it's, as in, off you go. There's a way out here for you. I know you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. We're in a jam-packed season. Oh, I don't know. I think there's a level of frustration for a number of reasons. One, probably personally. Yeah, I think we all thought we were out of this personally, didn't we? And then we saw the Autumn Nations Cup went so well. With fans and the level of rugby, and then what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. So I think there's a level of frustration. There's a level now of who knows, we don't know. And the EPCR stepped up and said, obviously, that you can register some players, and if you want to forfeit, you can forfeit it. I mean, it takes a shine off the competition, let's be honest, it does, because we're talking about one of the best teams in the competition. Not that it matters how good your team is, but if we're talking about Munster, who probably would be wanting to go full noise for it, they ain't going full noise. So they're not going to be rescheduled. They can forfeit if they want. They probably won't. They're only playing Wasps.
What are you on about? Only playing Wasps.
I know, but yeah, but you know, it's going to be tough for them.
On the positive side, you know, with the competition kicking off this weekend, are there any big games in particular that you guys are looking forward to?
Well, if you watch a BT Sport on Friday night, I'll be commentating on the big one, Leon versus Gloucester.
Oh, nice, mate. Yeah. Is that the same time as Saints against Racing?
I don't know. I'm only focusing on my game. Well, Gloucester have gone full noise. Half the team are in Dubai, so they're going big for it, which I don't think they are. They're concentrating on the Prem for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean, Goody just said, Northampton flying this season in terms of how they're playing up against Racing. That's a real test, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And Racing, you know, Racing have lost the last 2 weeks in the top 14 as well. So Saints going in with a bit of confidence. Finn Russell needs a five guys and he'll be all right if he's fit. The big one, though, obviously top of the league in Leicester, top of the Premiership. They're playing over in Bordeaux, who are top of the top 14. For me, that's a massive game. I have the pleasure, actually, of being in BT Sports Studios for that as well, James. So we both got a bit of BT this weekend. Yeah, it's a miracle, isn't it?
How are you doing Bordeaux Tigers? And I'm doing Gloucester Leo, our captain of Gloucester. That's why.
Yeah, you captain Gloucester. I won the European Cup twice with Leicester, so I know. Played in France with Brive as well. Humbly, very humbly. True. Yeah, massive games. Obviously, you always look at the big guns. You know, Clermont are always a team that are touted around. They're actually not going that well in the top 14 at the minute. They're playing Ulster. Ulster, massive test for them. Exeter against Montpellier. Montpellier are flying in the top 14. Exeter, obviously, have had some indifferent form, but got a bit of their juices flowing again against Saracens with a victory. Yeah, I mean, you can't look further on Sunday than Wasps against Munster at the Coventry Building Society Arena, boys.
That notoriously, historically, was a proper game. I mean, we're talking about two European giants there. And I think, like Goody said, I think there's a romance around the tournament. And we've both, lucky enough, between us to have won four European Cups. Can't believe that's rolling off the tongue as seamlessly as it is, but it is. It's a wicked competition. Do you know what I mean? It is so good. It's the best tournament to play in as a club player. And Wasps and Munster, Leicester, Toulouse, you know, Saracens, I know they're in the Challenge Cup. They ain't in it. Yeah, but they're still in the... Yeah, it's not a great comp, the other one. Am I commentating on that one? Yeah, I am, yeah. So I probably don't want to undersell it. But you look at some of the... You know, Clermont, I know they've not won it, but they won the Challenge Cup. There's history in this competition, and that's what's amazing about it. And we've got a big game. Goody mentioned it, just going back to his point. Wasp versus Munster. You know, the black versus the red. It's synonymous with European history. So it's gone on the days where you've got Paul O'Connell, Donnacha O'Callaghan up against Simon Shaw, Lawrence Dallaglio. You know, these just naming four great players there. But nonetheless, in Cov, it's going to be great because me and Goody are from Cov and Simone and Joseph Wasp win. My goodness me.
And Carey's. Do you remember Carey's?
Oh, do I? I got banned from Carey's because on a New Year's Eve, a guy called Yam Yam from Birmingham is on the stage, start bollock naked. No word of a lie. He was called Le Elephant, right? He was called Le Elephant. I got barred because they thought it was me on stage. And I'm like, no, Le Pip. Like, I am not Yam Yam.
The squirrel.
From Carey's nightclub. A couple of unbelievable scraps in there as well.
Nice.
Got Superman punched. Bad. Yeah, got Superman punched over the dance floor. Didn't flinch. So,
can you look past Leinster to win the competition? I'm asking you to crystal ball gaze here a little bit, but can you look past Leinster and are there any dark horses that you think could spring a few surprises and make it all the way?
I'd love to see a Bordeaux or someone like that come through. It's just someone a little bit different to challenge them. Montpellier, like Goody said, have got some real quality in there. Quins, you know, what can Quins do in this tournament? A rhetorical question. We'll find out. They're playing against Castro, which is a tough place to go and play on Sunday. So, I don't know. Leinster are obviously phenomenal. They've been great in the URC. They got undone against Ulster. They are probably the team, Andrew, would you say, still?
Yeah, I mean, again, you go back to what happened last year. Toulouse, La Rochelle in the final. You know, two huge teams. Toulouse were, you know, you look across their team, I know there's no Cheslin Colby now, but they've got worldies across their whole team. You know, when you've got DuPont and Untermack as your halfbacks, they're going to set the tone. They play Cardiff first round away from home, and Cardiff has said, look, we'll just take on the game, even though they've had all the disruption as well. So you look at them, La Rochelle, a massive outfit. You know, they're still going to be there or thereabouts. And it will come down to, you know, I read Johnny Sexton said this week that the season will be a failure if Leinster don't win the Champions Cup. So that's how much pressure they put on themselves to try and win it. And yeah, they fell short against La Rochelle last year in terms of the power game. But that was kind of what happened with Irish rugby a little bit over the last 18 months. And now look at what they've done. You think Leinster pretty much beat the All Blacks on their own a few weeks back. So yeah, I've convinced myself Leinster are going
to
win it.
Jim, who are you picking to win it?
I was going to say Leicester, but I know they're not. No, they're not.
What do you mean you know they're not?
They wouldn't beat Leinster. They wouldn't beat Leinster. I think they struggle against a Racine or a Toulouse, Bath.
They've got Bordeaux. Why are you being horrible?
Toulouse.
Ooh, here we go.
Toulouse, back to back, eh?
Yeah.
Not many teams have gone back to back, James.
I'm not very confident, but I've just said it because they're a big name and because they're playing Cardiff in Pool B and they've got the easiest pool because they've got Connor, why are you being horrible, and Stade Francais. So that's why I'm saying Toulouse. They've got an easier pathway to the knockout stages.
Right, well, let's finish things off then with the good, the bad and the ugly.
Yeah, loads of good this week. We're going to start off. We mentioned someone in the good last week that did something pretty special and pretty huge for charity. Kevin Sinfield's run from Leicester to Leeds. They've ended up raising over £2 million, but also in the sidelines that kind of got missed a little bit because of how big Kevin Sinfield's run was. Will Finlay, massive shout out to him, part of the S&C team at Leicester Tigers. He's ran 30 half marathons in 30 days to raise money for the Youngs family. Obviously, we know the sad news around Tiff Youngs. But the last day, he did a full marathon. So, how are your blisters? Hell of an effort from Will Finlay. Certainly gets a mention in the good this week. We talked just recently about top 14. Bordeaux get a mention. They actually beat Toulouse this weekend in the top 14. The battle of the top two to go top. So Bordeaux looking pretty good in that league at the minute. Fantastic result for them, beating Toulouse at home. We're going to go over to a little bit of sevens now, James. Spain. Did you see this?
No.
Espanol. The Spanish beat Fiji. Beat Fiji, James, in the Dubai Sevens. Not only did they beat them, they spanked them 33-19. Yes, it was a young Fiji team, but it's the first time Spain have ever beaten Fiji on the Sevens circuit, so big tip of the slipper to them.
I think Haskell was there DJing. Chickadoo!
He was. What else was good? Ospreys beat Ulster 19 points to 13. Stephen Myler, about 42 years of age, still rocking it there for them, so big shout out to the Ospreys. Over in the Premiership, Lewis Liner's individual effort I thought was pretty special at Leicester Tigers at the weekend. Really like him as a player. Lovely hairdo as well. Lewis Ludlam for Northampton, he was pretty good. 18 tackles and 4 turnovers for Saints at the weekend in their domination of Bath. Leicester Tigers, we've got to give them a mention. 9 from 9 in the Premiership, and also played 2-1-2 in the Premiership Cup as well. So overall this season, Leicester Tigers played 11, won 11 after their victory over Quins at the weekend to sit top of the league still.
Well, I think with that as well, Dan Kelly got 3 turnovers as well and won to win them the game at the end.
Yeah, how good was Dan Kelly? He was class. Absolute class. What else? London Irish. I think that's 7 wins from 8 for those boys after they dismantled Newcastle Falcons after their 7-hour drive down. That's what Dino kept blaming the result on. But yeah, Irish, especially Ollie Hassel-Collins with a hat-trick as well. They look pretty special at times, ball in hand. Gloucester are going to get a mention of the good. James?
An apology as well?
I thought about giving it to them, James, but I couldn't quite give it to them.
One more win. Beat Lyon at the weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But it's their first win over Bristol since 2018, so a good performance by those boys. But the good this week, James, has to go to an old club of mine. It always does. It doesn't always have to, but it does this week. We've put them in the bad plenty of times. I think Chris Ashton has left there now, which means the
truth. Has he left the building?
Well, I don't know. I think, it's still in the hands of lawyers, but Worcester Warriors are going to get the good this week. They've been in the bad plenty of times. It was their first win over Wasps in 8 years at the weekend. Duane van der Merwe was ridiculously good. So yeah, Worcester Warriors, they get the good this week.
Error.
The bad, a few bits of bad really. Bristol's lost at Gloucester and they're down in 12th in the Premiership. Not great for them at the minute, but they don't lose, they just learn. That's what Pat Lam says, right, James?
Whatever that means. I'm built from the Philosopher's Stone as well, and I'll take it.
Bath are going to get a mention in the bad again this week. I'm not going to give it to them, but they've lost again at Saints. They've now played 10, lost 10 in all competitions, and they've got Leinster and La Rochelle up next, so it doesn't get any easier. In fact, it gets even harder.
Have a couple of weeks off, lads. What? Merry Christmas.
Going to be tough for Bath over the next few weeks. Brive get a mention in the bad this week, James.
Did say it. What happened?
They lost 41-0 at Lyon. Not a great performance, and they're now 3 points off the bottom two in the top 14. So they've been dragged back into the relegation scrap. But the bad this week goes to an old club of mine as well, James.
Well, where are we going now? It's not the Sharks. It's nope. Not Worcester. It's going to a club that you won't want to associate yourself with if they get 100 put on them at the weekend by Munster, isn't it?
No, it's not, James. It's not.
It's not Wasps.
No, it's going to the ill discipline of Saracens in the back chat from Billy Vonopola. you just can't back chat referees anymore, James. So that was bad. It was a bad look for the game, wasn't it, James? The discipline
can't
was poor. It cost Saracens.
True. We'll be back.
We'll be. I thought you were Gloucester.
No, I was Gloucester on Friday night. Saracens on Saturday.
The Saracens boys aren't talking to you anymore. They've unfollowed you on social media, haven't they?
Well, a couple of them have, yeah, and they probably will do after this as well. Cheers.
There we go. So that gets the bad this week. And then the ugly. Only one bit of ugly I could find really this weekend, and it was Joshua Tuasova, who got red carded for Lyon for an elbow to the head of a Brive player. So Joshua Tuasova, you get the ugly this week.
Thanks, Scooty. Thanks, Jim. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube and make sure you've subscribed on Spotify as well.
Rugby Spot.
Spotter pod.